Welcome to Bardo's Breakdown, the podcast that gives you the complete 411 on Big Ten basketball. And now your host, former NBA and Flying Illini great, Stephen Bardo.
Welcome back to another edition of Bardo's Breakdown. I'm your host, Stephen Bardo, and I'm really pleased to be joined today by Minnesota head coach Richard Pitino, who's been gracious enough to come back on the show because I screwed up the first time that we were on. So, Coach, really appreciate your time today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, going into your second year, this is the first time that you'll be going into your second year. I don't think people really realize you had two first-year situations as coach. How much better is this year compared to those last first 2 years that you experienced?
Oh, it's night and day. I mean, it's just when I got my job at FIU, I mean, we inherited three scholarship players, and we took the job in the spring. So just the energy that you put in to try to fill a roster is extremely difficult. Then you finally get your system implemented. You kind of get the train back on the tracks and, finished a very good season, very good first season. Really didn't anticipate moving on from there, but got a great opportunity at Minnesota and had to take it. Well, then again, you go into a higher stage where the fan base is so much bigger and there's so many people who are constantly reaching out that you got to get to know as well as recruit at a high level and, again, implement your system. So that takes a lot out of you. Now in year two, it's now you can focus on strengthening all the things that you put in.
You know, you talk about that coming into year two, coming off a very successful year one with an NIT championship. What has that really meant in terms of recruiting and what has it meant to your program?
I think more than anything, just the visibility of our program in year one, people seeing the way that I coach, seeing, you know, the barn on national TV or seeing us at Madison Square Garden beat a very good SMU team. I think people were able to hopefully see what we're trying to do, and it doesn't happen overnight, and certainly we've got a lot to improve on, but at least to be able to talk about what we did last year, what we accomplished. We won a championship. We got to 25 wins, which is officially the most in school history. So we're very proud of a lot, but we also know that we've got a long way to go to where we want to get to.
Well, you talk about that successful season. You've got a number of returners, I believe four starters returning back. And I know the guys have been working hard. I read where DeAndre Matthews picked up 13 pounds of muscle. I'm hearing good things about Josh Martin, the 6'8 freshman from Washington. Do you attribute that trip to the NIT as a motivating factor for your guys this offseason?
Yeah, I think more than anything, what I was proud about our guys is you see a lot of teams when they make the NIT, they take it for granted. They don't appreciate the fact that they get to continue to keep playing. And it's tough. It's not easy to do that. Our guys wanted to keep playing. They wanted our seniors to go out winners. They wanted to get to Madison Square Garden, and they wanted to win a championship. With that being said, our goal certainly is NCAA tournament every single year. We didn't get that. Now we know why we missed out because, I mean, we were one of the last teams left out.
Right.
So the margin for error there, we just got to clean up a lot of things that we did wrong, and I think our guys are really eager to do that.
You talked about the mental toughness or lack thereof. I think I read something where you were talking about the game against Wisconsin in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. You knew you needed a win. If you get that win, you think you get over the hump, and you said you guys came out and they didn't really perform well under the pressure. How do you address that moving into this season?
Well, you know, two things. You got to give Wisconsin credit. They played great, and they were playing very great. And whether or not our game was what led to that, they were playing with great confidence. But our guys just were not ready to get stops when they needed to. And that's the biggest thing that we know we've got to improve on is, you know, defending without fouling. Playing great team defense, keeping the ball in front of us. I thought we were a really good offensive team last year. I thought we were a below-average defensive team until the end of the season, and then we started to pick it up in the Final Four of the NIT. So these guys know now what's right, what's wrong, what's to be expected of them. Now we get to go do it.
Well, let's transition to this season, Coach, and pretty exciting start. Get to go up against Louisville and your father on a Coast Guard base in Puerto Rico, and I don't think it's open to the public. kind of talk about that experience and looking forward to that for your players and the program.
Well, I think more than anything, you know, you put aside the fact that I'm coaching against my father. I'm a young head coach. I get to go against a Hall of Fame coach and one of the best programs in the country on national TV first game of the season. Regardless of the fact that he's my father, that's something any young coach and any program like Minnesota who wants to be considered with the Michigan States, the Louisville's and all those guys, and we know that takes a while. Well, it's a fun opportunity. Not only is it great for our fan base, it's great for building our brand, but it's also good for our players to understand what it's all about, you know, meet these families, meet what they go through on a daily basis, spend 2 days with them. So we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, that sounds like a great experience. You're also going to be in the NIT Tip-Off Classic with Georgia, Gonzaga, among some other teams. And, you know, you've got some familiarity with New York City. How do you think this will build your confidence moving forward?
Well, you look at it, we play Western Kentucky, which is a very, very good team at home to start it. And I've been on the other side of losing to them several times in my young career. And then you go at the Garden and you play St. John's in their home building. So you're really essentially playing a road game at a neutral site tournament. And then you've got to, if you win or lose, play two great programs in Gonzaga and Georgia. So we've got to be ready. This will be one of the toughest non-conference schedules I would assume that Minnesota's played in many, many years.
You know, you talk about that non-conference slate, Coach, and, you know, the games that we've mentioned, Louisville, Georgia, Gonzaga possibly, but then you look at the start of your Big Ten season at Purdue, at Maryland, Ohio State at home, at Michigan, and Iowa at home to start the Big Ten slate. So you guys will be tested early, won't you?
Absolutely. And you know what? For me, we've got to win on the road if we want to get to where we want to get to. The good teams find a way to win on the road. You look at Michigan last year. They came in and beat us by 3 at our place. You know, they were calm. They were poised. We've got to get to that. We only won 2 road games in the Big Ten last year. We were certainly close. We lost in overtime to Michigan State. We lost triple overtime to Purdue, had some opportunities, but we didn't get it done. So I'm excited about the challenge. I really am, to see where our guys are at, see if they kind of rise to that occasion.
You know, I want to transition away from the court a little bit, and we've talked about in the past about the facilities and the upgrades that are coming to Minnesota, and I've read where the fundraising has gotten off to a good start, but you've got a very, to me, I think it's a great attitude towards the facility situation at Minnesota. You know, you made adjustments to the existing places, and now you've got what you need. But you also mentioned, I read where you said that UConn won the championship, but they didn't have a practice facility, so it's no excuse. How did you come up with that approach?
Well, it's very simple. I mean, I believe it. You know, it's I've been at places with very good facilities. That's not what gets you to the Final Four. You know, certainly it helps. The thing that I looked at more than anything was when I came here, they were practicing in one building, they were lifting in a different building, they were doing study hall tutors in another building. So they were spread out too much. My goal was immediately to make our student athletes' lives easier and get them all under one roof. That way we can see them more. They don't have to run all throughout campus to do things. That's the biggest thing with practice facilities is accessibility. We have turned our situation into a really good situation because time is of the essence. You know, we've got recruiting to do, we've got a program to run, and I think I'm proud of the fact that we've made the best of the situation that we had. We just took advantage of every resource that we had, and also I totally believe in Norwood Teague, our AD, that he will get it done eventually, but you know, in sports, nobody's patient, so we had to get it done right away.
I hear you on that. And how do you think that's affected your recruiting? Because it seems as though your recruiting is ahead of schedule. You've got 3 committed in the 2015 class already.
You know, I'll say this. Any recruit that we've brought in, 99% of them have been blown away by everything. They're blown away by our location in the Twin Cities and all the opportunities that are afforded to you. They're blown away by our campus, what a degree provides for you. They're blown away by our new weight room, our new practice gym. So there's not one kid that's come onto our campus and said, well, you don't have this, you don't have that. You know, now it's our job to identify with the right type of guys because it's not real hard to figure out who's good enough. I've always said that. It's hard to find out what you need, and who you can get. And we've got to do a great job of identifying to that, and I think we've done that.
Okay. And, you know, Coach, you're one of the more successful younger coaches, especially in the Big Ten Conference. So I'm making an assumption here that you can relate to the players a little bit better just from proximity of age. So with that question, if I got into your car, your truck, what's in your music rotation? What's Coach Pitino listening to?
You know, what's funny is I was just upstairs and I was lifting with our guard group. We got Andre Hollins and DeAndre Matthew and Nate Mason were all up there lifting, and I was lifting with them. And the music that they were playing, I'm sitting there going, what has my life become to? But they said, Coach, you know, you're supposed to be a cool young guy. You're supposed to be listening to this. So I did. But I go in spurts. You know, I'm kind of like a weather guy. If the weather's nice, I'm going to go country, you know, or something
okay.
like that. I really change it up a lot, to be honest. But it is important for me at 31, and I'm going to be 32 here shortly, to not try to act like I'm my dad's age. And that's nothing against older coaches, but I am who I am,
right.
and this is who I am, and I've got to be comfortable with it.
And you seem comfortable with it, because what I saw from the games last year and looking at the players and how they communicate with you and relate to you, it seems as though you made a quick connection. Do you think that that has a lot more to do with your approach, or do you think it has something to do with your proximity and age to the player?
Well, you know, when I was younger, I guess, I was a 23-year-old, maybe 24, assistant coach at the University of Louisville, one of the best programs in the country. And we had two lottery picks on our team. We had several McDonald's All-Americans. I didn't play in college. I'm the coach's son. So I had to find a way to relate to these guys and be different and be unique. Well, I think the same goes here. I mean, you know, I can't line up my credentials with a Tom Izzo or a Bo Ryan or a Thad Mata or the millions of great coaches in our conference, because I'm going to lose that battle. I've got to be comfortable with who I am. I think the biggest thing is be extremely prepared with everything that you're going to do and show them that you care. If you do those two things, I think in the end they're going to relate to you. They're going to appreciate you.
Well said, Coach. I appreciate your time, my man. This will do it for another edition of Bartle's Breakdown. If you have questions, please email me at Steven@StevenBartle.com. Until next time, holla.